This morning, we're going to look at a few things. And part of tithing and giving to God what's His is being thankful. Amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you that giving to God evokes thankfulness from us and within us. Many people give, but do we give because we love? And if we love, we're going to give. It just goes hand in hand. And so today, as we open the Word of God and we look at this, and we're going to look at glorifying God, we're going to look at what it looks like to give and how that brings thankfulness. I have asked Darcy, where are you? Oh, I'm looking right over you. Come on up here. I have asked Darcy to give. Well, here's the funny thing. So let me get this for you here. There you go. So last week or 2 weeks ago, Darcy came up to me and she's like, "Pastor, can I give my testimony on tithing?" Yeah. I mean, right? Listen, anytime someone is excited to share what God is doing, you use that and you like, man, go for it. I'd rather have someone coming to me asking if they could share than me having to go to you. Not because there's any difference, except for there's more enthusiasm. Amen. And next week, same thing happened. I had got a text and said, "Hey, as a matter of fact, it'll be Joe next week's giving testimony," and sent me a text that, "Hey, do you have anyone lined up to give testimony on tithing? I want to share. God has blessed me so much. I need to tell people." Not because like he's getting jacked up with blessing, but because he wants to share the goodness of God. Amen. So this morning, Darcy is going to share her testimony on tithing.
Good morning. Well, many of you may have heard Pastor joke about how the first time I met him, the very first thing that I said to him was, "Do you take people's money?" It's true. I did say that to him. But the reason that I said that to him was because many, many years ago when I lived in California, I had just moved to California. I met a family. They introduced me to their church. I started going. I was there, just going a few times. I would, as the plate would go around, I always gave, whatever I thought I had to give that day. So then I became good friends with someone, and she, I really got to know her, and like she shared with me like a lot of times that she was not able to afford diapers, any other necessities and stuff like that. So I tried to help her, and her and her husband, I went through, their finances with them, and I noticed that they had given a lot of their portion of their money to the church. And I was like, "Well, why are you doing this? You can't give that. You need to stop giving so much money." And they, tried to explain to me that no, this is what we need to do. Our church requires it. That's what, it just automatically comes out of my paycheck, goes to them. It's a necessity. And I thought to myself, what kind of a church is going to make you, go into debt, over giving it to them? So I stopped going to that church, and I wanted no part of it. I did not go to a church many, many years after that. Fast forward, back in New York. So it's been since 2015 now that I started coming here. And I took a stand for salvation in October. That November, Pastor started preaching about tithing. So I learned more and more about it, and thought, wow, this is not something that's a requirement from the pastor. It's not a requirement from the church. It's a requirement from God. And I immediately started, tithing at that point. So by December of that year, it was just a regular tithing that I always gave. No hands about it. I just immediately started tithing. So, so the funny thing is too that, had Pastor had said when I had first met him that he only took the people's money that were people who were members of the church. And when I first, started coming to the church, I was like, I'm never going to become a member of the church because they're not going to require me to give so much money. But since then, I've learned, I did my research. I knew that, you know, this is a blessing from God, and it's just something that we need to give back in order to be grateful for that we are giving back. So, I now tithe faithfully on Faith Life, on an auto pay, because I don't even want to miss a week. If I'm out of church 1 week, I don't want to miss a week. I immediately, you know, I want that portion to go always to God. So we just need to remember that, you know, it might not always be a gift, monetarily. It could, you know, just be something that we should always just be grateful for, that, you know, God is blessing us with. So, you know, it could be just extra, you know, an extra mile of gas, something like that, you know, that, you know, you may, something that you may want at the store and you're like, oh, I can't afford it. But you go to the store and then it's on sale. And, you know, those are the blessings that we're getting back from God. It's not always monetarily that you're going to receive. So I just want to, you know, to come up and let you know that tithing is very important. It's just something that you're supposed to be giving with from your heart, and just really focus on giving back, because, you know, what we all have is all gifts from God. It's, you know, something that we may not even necessarily deserve in the first place. So thank you.
She shared calmly what she said. The reality of it was, I was introduced to her and I was like, oh, hey, Darcy, how you doing? And she was like, so do you take the people's money? To which I responded, yes, I do. It was an interesting conversation, and I never thought that she would come to church, especially realizing that I was going to take her money, and or that I wanted her money, which I didn't. But, you know, we had a lot of fun with it. And then she gets saved, and she realizes, man, I got to give back to the Lord. And, guys, I'm just going to tell you, giving to the Lord is a gift to us. That creates a gift for us. I want to share some scriptures with you that some things that evoke or start praising God and giving thanks to God. You know, God's righteousness, His faithfulness, goodness, His covenant keeping, His steadfast love, and of course, what Christ has done for us. Amen. The person and work of Jesus Christ. If you at any time have surrendered to Jesus Christ, and then you're looking to Him, you understand salvation, just to start with salvation, that is priceless. And do you realize the cost of your salvation, the cost of us as people, the cost to God, not to us? I mean, what did it cost? What did it cost me for the gift of salvation to go to heaven? It's cost me nothing, right? Christ died for me. If I believe in Him, I have eternal life. And how good was I to earn that? Oh my goodness, let's not even talk about that one. Because if you talk about failing miserably, I failed in the being good part miserably. But man, once you get saved, you want to praise God and you want to thank God. In Psalm 43:5, I want you to see here, Psalm 43:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I just want you to see that we praise God, we give thanks to God, because He is our God, and He helps with our salvation and our countenance. You know, when people see a Christian that's living for God, that's right with God, they see something different. And it's evident. It is evident. I'm going to tell you, I have, I get the blessing every now and then when I lead someone to the Lord, and all of a sudden everything changes. When I got saved, and it's so funny because Sherry's mom would tell her when her and I, Sherry and I had separated for a while, and then, I got saved and we were getting back together. Sherry's mom was like, you need to stay away from him. Don't you think God's trying to tell you something? Right. It was like, yeah, she wasn't fond of me. And, if you didn't catch on to that, she just wasn't fond of me. And so after I get saved, we go visit them. They're in Ohio. We were living in North Carolina at the time. And I no sooner got through the door and her mom was going, wow, there's something different. Like you can see there's something different, right? And of course, that's been 28 years ago now, 29 years ago. It's been a little while. Holy is God's name, and he is great. Psalm 99:3. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you start praising God's name, you will start becoming very thankful for everything you have. I have challenged people, write down 100 blessings. I'm going to challenge you. Don't start writing this morning, but write down 100 blessings that you're thankful for. 100. And don't name all your children by name, just, you know, family or whatever it is. And I'm going to tell you, when you start praising God's name and realizing how good he is and how holy he is and how thankful you become, you will praise God more. And then when someone says, hey, you need to tithe, you need to give back to the Lord, it won't be such a dagger in the heart. Some of you are so connected to your money that you're disconnected from God. Some people, man, they're like, oh, I can't give my money away. I need my money, and not realizing that God will double it, triple it, and maybe not financially or in the checking account, but within you. And you'll realize the value of God and the value of life far exceeds the value of a dollar bill, right? Choose this day whom you will serve. Is it mammon or money, or is it God? God's law is characterized by righteous rules. In Psalm 119:62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. At midnight, there's a designated time that we need to rise up and thank God. And I pray that each and every one of you have a designated time in your schedule each and every day to rise up and give God thanks. Because if you don't rise up and give him thanks, you quickly, and I'm going to tell you, not just you, we as a whole, as humanity, quickly forget the blessings of God. As a matter of fact, Satan will come in, and if we're not thankful, we're not seeking God's face, Satan will fill that void. He will absolutely fill that void and get you to question and doubt everything going on. Question the goodness of God. Isn't that what he did with Eve? He got right in there. Listen, he didn't try to tell her God didn't exist. He didn't even tell her God didn't love her. He just challenged her to question God. And if we fail to give thanks, make it on purpose to get up and give thanks, it won't be long before Satan will get you to question the goodness of God. And then it won't be long before God won't be that important to you, and church won't be that important to you, and the things of God won't be that important to you, and the things that glorify him and that actually lift you up won't be that important. Isn't it crazy? You can know exactly what to do and still not do it, right? Oh, I'm depressed. I'm struggling. You haven't been in the Word of God in a year. I'm depressed and I'm struggling. And God says, hey, get into my Word. Read my Word. We're like, oh, I know that's the right thing to do. But then we move on and we do something else. And then wonder why we're still struggling. Guys, I'm telling you, making an appointed time to give thanks to God. And it says, because of your righteous judgments. Because we know God is righteous and holy, and he loves us, and he wants what's best for us. Set the time aside to praise and give him glory and to do for him. Praise God and his wonderful works. Psalm 139. Wait a minute, did I jump one? Yep, okay, Psalm 139, 14, thank you. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I will praise you because I realize that because of you, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know how much thought God put into each and every one of us? And you realize the only thing that makes us less than anyone else is our attitude, our insecurity, our anxiety. The only thing that makes us less than anyone else is the way we perceive ourselves. And if we fail to realize that God made us fearfully and wonderfully, meaning with intricacy. And as we read scripture, we find out that God made us exactly the way we are so that we would be unique and bring Him glory. And all we can do sometimes is look in the mirror and beat ourselves up and downplay what God did. I'm telling you, we need to give God thanks and we need to praise Him because He made us amazing. If we can't even see what God put in us and how wonderful it is, how are we going to see how wonderful God is? If all we can do is complain about what God did in us, through us, and to us, what we're really saying is, God, you're not good enough. You didn't do good enough. And I want to encourage you today, don't compare yourselves to anyone else. No one. You compare yourself to Christ and His righteousness and His holiness. And that's what we strive for. If you do any less, you're telling God He messed up. You're telling God that you're not fearfully and wonderfully made, which then you're telling God His word's not true. See, guys, it's real hard to give God what's His if we can't even recognize what God gave us. We talk about the tithe and how the tithe is God's. And I'm just going to tell you that if you tithe, it is one way that you are showing God how much you appreciate Him and what He's done for you. But if you can't see what He's done for you, you won't praise Him. It's all attached. We can't run from it. We can't hide from it. So let me just tell you this, man. When you look in the mirror, you just look in there and go, man, God, you did good. Thank you. Because He did. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The only thing missing in what He did making you is your belief that He did well. Psalm 63:3. We praise Him because of His steadfast love. Because of your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. And literally praise and give thanks. These are all interchangeable right here as we go through this. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Do you love God enough to praise Him? Because if you don't love Him enough to praise Him, you're not going to love Him enough to give to Him. And you're not even going to recognize that what we give is His. See, guys, our identity is completely attached to God and His Word. And if we can't believe that God has made us to be all that He wants us to be, we're not going to praise Him. If we don't praise Him, man, we're not going to give to Him. We're not even going to glorify Him. We're not going to move in His direction. We're not even going to thank Him because we don't see what He sees. All we see is issues. All we see is what someone has convinced us isn't there. And I'm just going to tell you, man, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has designed us and built us to praise Him, to glorify Him, and to give back to Him because we're so appreciative of what He's done for us. We have to start seeing ourselves as God sees us, and we need to praise Him for his goodness. Other places that people thank and praise God is that gives us a wonderful example is Psalm 104. In Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. This is a process. But in this process is a... You have to be very purposeful in this. You have to make it a point to do this. This isn't just going to happen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Guys, here's the question. How appreciative are you of salvation? How appreciative are we in what God has done? And then, of course, our lifestyle tells the truth. You know, our words are deceiving. Let's just be honest, right? You could tell me a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't know any different unless I watch you. And then all of a sudden, your actions actually determine if you're appreciative of what God has done. You only have life because he breathed life into our nostrils. You don't understand what I'm saying? Listen, and you have abilities. We have abilities that we don't even realize because we cut ourselves short. We put the brakes on. We're like, oh, I can't do that. And God's like, you can do anything through Christ. Do we enter his gates with thanksgiving? And then when we get through the gates and inside that personal relationship, do we praise him? Do we praise him? Or are we just people that like to take, right? Because most people are takers today, right? Gimme, 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 gimme. Yep, thank you. See you next time when it's to my benefit. And we forget how good God is. We forget to give him thanksgiving and praise. And then what happens is we get detached. See, when it comes to stewardship month, the only reason that we have a struggle with it is because we have failed in this area. The reality is, you know, and we're going to get into scriptures here in 2 Corinthians in just a minute, where Paul's talking about giving, right? And he talks about the blessings of giving. And he talks about all the things that God wants from us, but more than anything, he wants us first. But if we can't even give him thanksgiving and praise, you're not going to give much more. Because all of a sudden now everything's got to be on our standard. Everything's got to be the way we want it. Our expectations. I can even read scriptures and verses and people will still look at me and tell me I'm wrong. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. The verse says, no, you're wrong. Well, what do we do with the verse? You're wrong. Like I've had these conversations with people. Okay, I just read you the word of God. You're wrong. See, because I'm going to tell you, a hard heart doesn't see the goodness of God. A hard heart doesn't praise God and give him thanks for all he's done. I just want you right now to take 10 seconds and think of two things that you're incredibly thankful for. Don't say it out loud. Just think about it right now. Two things you're incredibly thankful for. Which one involved God? Guys, we just, as Christians, as people who say we love God, the first thing, the first requirement of us is to praise him. That's the first requirement. And if you're not praising God, you're not living for God. I know, Satan's back. He has become my friend. I was looking for him before the service started because I was going to kill him. But he hid well. Yes. I praise God that none of you are going to pay attention to him, that you're going to pay attention to me. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Listen, I just want you to know that if you don't love God, you know, because it is said, while it's impossible to give without loving, it is not possible to love without giving. While it is possible to give without loving, it is not possible to love without giving. That's a true statement, right? How can we give to God? If we don't love God, or if you say you love God, how is it that you can't give back to him? New Testament says tithing is nowhere in the New Testament does it say to tithe, but yet Jesus says in Matthew 23:23, don't forsake the tithe. Jesus says that, right? Well, that's I'm all you want is my money. That's right. Like Darcy's like, do you want everybody's money? Of course. I mean, of course, we were having fun that day. But how do you expect people to give, or how do you expect to give to God if you don't love God? The truth is, when God asked for 10% or the tithe, which has been from Genesis all the way through the scriptures, from the beginning all the way through, before the law, during the law, after the law. And then people are like, I had a lady leave one time. She was so angry with me. You're the most ungodly person I've ever met. How dare you expect me to give my money? I don't have enough money to pay my bills, so on and so forth. I'm like, I don't expect you to give your money. And she blew me up. I said, do you love Jesus? Yes, I do. Okay. It shows. what do you do with it, right? It's not possible to love without giving, especially when we see in the scriptures. And again, if you're visiting with us, just so you know, I really don't want your money. I want you to surrender to God. It all starts right there. Man, when you do that, as you saw with Darcy, the rest just falls into place. It just falls into place. If God has our heart, he has everything we own. I want you to see that God blesses in a unique and generous way to cheerful givers. As we look into 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is talking about when you give with the right attitude. Next week, we're going to talk about the attitude of giving, the attitude of our hearts. Verse 7 talks about being a cheerful giver and how God loves a cheerful giver. In verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God is able to make, and I want you to see something here. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, please. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I want you to notice something that Paul is very repetitive with here. And God is able to make all, right? What does all mean? All means all, and that's all means. It's simple. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Some versions are written where literally Paul uses the word all five times. But I want you to see in this verse that God is able to make all grace abound where? Toward us. But again, it's going to be dependent upon us giving back to God, praising God, giving thanks to God. That you, us, always having all sufficiency in all things. If we keep what's God's, then God keeps what he wants to give. And God says that, listen, if you give, I'll bless you. Not only will I bless you, but I will make all grace abound towards you. I will direct this blessing toward you so that you are blessed. So that we always, that means without, like it doesn't stop, right? That's kind of like goes along with eternity. Always is a never-ending word. You got that? Always having, possessing, owning within our grasp. All things, that's everything. What's everything? All sufficiency. All sufficiency. You're not going to be lacking. All sufficiency in what? In everything. Because this is what makes the difference. We don't go after this because we're greedy. We don't go after this because it's like, oh, if I attach to God, I'm going to get rich and I'm going to get wealthy, right? That Joel Osteen, Judy Joyce Myers, all those that do that, Kenneth Copeland, you know, they all have that mentality that if you give, you're going to get rich. The only ones getting rich are them. This isn't about getting rich. This isn't about owning everything. This isn't about becoming wealthy with material things. This is about becoming wealthy in here because we're so right with God that He can trust us. And literally, we become a funnel where God pours in because we know it's going to come out and go where He wants it to go, to do ministry, to do that which is good. And so He says, listen to me. God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And if we know anything about good work, it's that which honors God. That's the good work, right? Remember when the young, rich young ruler comes up and he calls Jesus, he's like, good teacher. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So we understand good literally would be the description of the things of God. So when He says that abundance for every good work, God says, listen, I will give to you and I will pour into you and I will pour into you if I know you're going to pour it back for every good work. But you're not going to give back and you're not going to pour back if you're not praising God and giving thanks to God. It's directly attached. Don't swing at Him. He'll stay high. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Yeah, He don't want you. He just wants to observe. Yeah, like, He don't want you. He wants someone else. That came out as wrong as it could happen. Back to the Word of God. Oh, dear Jesus, please help me choose my words wisely. Amen and amen. All right, here we go. He don't want you. Oh, my goodness. Listen, God's gracious giving has no limits. That's what we need to see here. But we're not going after His stuff to get stuff. We're going after Him so that He can bless us and there's no limit to it. Anybody ever use Mitchell hair care products? Right? You've heard of Mitchell's hair care products? Okay, so he's a friend of mine. I actually went to church with him and his family. And I did some work on his cars when I had my own business. And he started the business. He got saved right about the same time he started the business. And he went through stewardship month. Get some every time. And so he starts tithing. Not only is he tithing on his personal income, he's tithing on his business income. Anybody ever realize how big he is right now? Business-wise? Yeah, and he will tell you it all changed when he decided to start praising God and tithing on the goodness that God gave him. I'm just saying, God's word doesn't lie. And he gives money, lots of money, and he pours it right back into the good works, the things of God. God's word does not lie. Amen? Listen, as Christians, we have to believe that what God promised, He's able to do. 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When we start listening to men, we will fail to listen to God. And if we fail to listen to God, we'll fail to be obedient to God. And then we just listen to men. And you know where the wisdom of men goes? There's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, it leads to death. Paul says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If all you see is the money, or all you see is the church just wants your money, you know, the pastor, how else is he going to survive if he doesn't have your money? Like, we have no other talents. I could be a barber if everybody comes in and wants the same cut. Okay, I might go hungry doing that, but I could do other things, right? It's not about the wanting your money. It's about wanting you to walk closer to God. Amen. Human wisdom teaches that prosperity comes from grasping for wealth, not giving it away. But yet God says, give it away. It doesn't make sense. But I'm telling you, God's economy doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense is because the numbers don't add up. Because what happens is God says, listen, if you just do this out of faith, then you'll see me work. But if you do this from what you see and what you understand, you don't need me. God literally wants us to step out in faith and trust that he is able to keep his promises. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. Listen, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Man, you want the hand of God on you? You want the blessings of God? And I'm not talking wealth. I'm talking the hand of God on you, the blessings of God on you. Then you got to surrender to him. You have to praise him. You have to glorify him. You have to thank him. And he's like, listen, and when you do that, I am able to keep my promises, and not just keep them, but do exceedingly abundantly above. God is not only able to keep his promise, but guard and preserve them. 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. And that day is the rapture. Paul's like, listen, I'm not struggling. I know who I believe in. And I know that he's able to keep whatever it is unto the day of the rapture. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you realize that God, Jesus, lives to make intercession for us? And because of that, he's able to save anyone, anywhere, anytime. And not only able to save us, but preserve us. But see, if we don't believe that, how are we going to praise him and give thanks? Jude 24. Now to him, by the way, if anybody finds any more than one chapter in Jude, you need to throw that Bible away. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Listen, God is able to keep us and preserve us and guard us, protect us, give to us, but it's only going to come because we praise him, we give thanks to him, we glorify him, and we believe him. See, most Christians struggle today because you don't believe. And God's like, yeah, you need to surrender to me. Man, we hold ourselves back so much. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. He's like, look, I'm there for you through everything. Some of us are struggling. I'm there. The question is, are we looking for him for help? Jesus could even raise people from the dead, Hebrews 11:19. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. God is able to raise us from the dead. We saw it with Lazarus. We saw it with so many, the young girl who had passed away. Jesus is able to raise from the dead. Here's the question. Do we believe? Are we thankful for his power and his keeping? Are we thankful that he's always there? And I'm going to tell you, believers must be fully assured that God can keep his word, Romans 4:21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he being Jesus, he was also able to perform. Here's the question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Most people believe it for salvation and nothing else. Yep, I believe he's able to take me to heaven, but that's all I'm willing to give him. But yet he says, listen, if you give, it'll be given unto you. Do you believe that? That's the word of God, right? Jesus says, don't forsake the tithe. Do you believe that? Or does that get in your way? Hebrews chapter 7 says that we're to be like Abraham and we're to give to Melchizedek, or that which is like Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is a picture of Christ. Do you believe that? Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord and I do not change. Do you believe that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? See, here's the thing. You either believe all the scriptures or you can't believe any of them. If John 3:16 is not right and is not true, then nothing else is. And if nothing else is, John 3:16 isn't either. I got a question for you. It's rhetorical. Don't answer it out loud. Why do you come to church? Do you come to church to learn, to grow, to have opportunity to serve, to give back, to encourage, to lift up, to empower other believers so that their walk is strengthened and then go out into the world and live in it much healthier? Or do you come to church because, hey, where else can we go where it's such a good social gathering and you know nobody's going to be drinking, cussing, swearing, and so on and so forth? Oh, I don't know where else they're gathering. And man, they gather every week. And I just feel so much better going and being around people. So I go for the social aspect of it. Like, why do you come to church? The answer to that question will clearly determine your answers to the other questions. Why am I a pastor? Man, God wouldn't let me out of it. But what's my desire? My heart's desire, my passion is to teach the Word of God in its fullness, whether we like it, don't like it, agree with it, don't agree with it. Because the Word of God is not up to me. The Word of God is up to God. It's up to me to teach the truth of it. And the truth is, guys, if you don't believe that God has made you fearfully and wonderfully, if you don't believe that God is able to keep you, you sure enough are not going to believe that God wants what's his, and that's the tithe. But you're not going to give anything else either. So it's just kind of immaterial. You understand what I'm saying. And it's so interesting that we can go through life and it seems the first thing we give up is God. Because we got to hold on to everything else, like that's going to last. I want you to understand that God gives back in ginormous ways. And he's able to make grace abound to all who give generously. Philippians 4:19. In Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God. So Paul is writing this, making it very clear who his God is. And obviously we know it's Jesus. And my God shall supply all your need. All. What's lacking there? What's lacking? Nothing. There's nothing lacking in the word all, right? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All, do you believe that? See, if you don't believe that, then you're not going to trust him. And I find it so amazing that we trust God with our soul, but we won't trust God with our dollar. Like, we have these limits on what God's able to do and what he's able to keep. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, man, we need to trust God in everything, understanding that he will give and take care of us. The goal is that God is glorified. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Guys, I'm telling you, everything we do, we should be glorifying God. We should be giving thanks to God. The Corinthians in this chapter, or in this book, if you go back, the Corinthians, they generously gave. They gave. Who do they give? You know, because most people say, well, you got to give to the poor. Well, if you read the scriptures, the poor is not the poor of the world. The poor are the saints that are struggling and lost everything. That's the poor that we're supposed to give to. How does that work? That's why Paul says, listen, you put everything in so there's no collecting when I come. They understood what the collection was. It's the tithe. That's always been the tithe. There wasn't no problem with it. And then Paul tells them what kind of attitude they need to have to give to that. And he says, so that when I come, I can take the collections and we can help and do and serve. He was building churches and he was giving to those who had need, which were the Christians. I read this, said the human race is like a thankless child, and God is deeply grieved and offended by those who do not honor him as God or give thanks. Romans 1:21. And I thought that's interesting. The human race is like a thankless child. Sometimes we are, aren't we? I mean, we don't want to be called that. I know that's nobody in here, but sometimes we are. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's so many people that claim God. I know God. I love God. I'm spiritual. I hate that word. Oh, I'm very spiritual. Hey, Satan's spiritual. It's just demonic. But look, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Are you doing that which glorifies God? Are you thankful? If you struggle to do what God asked you to do in anything, you're not glorifying God and you're not thankful. You're still about you. I'm still about me. I mean, it just is what it is. And then we wonder why our lives are miserable. And God, where are you? And God's like, hey, I'm here where I've always been. You're the one that keeps walking away. You're the one that's not believing. And James, if you remember, if you read James, and he says, if you are double-minded, if you doubt, right? Don't ask God for anything, because if you doubt, you're a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. Don't think God's going to give you anything. How can we live for God today and not live for God tomorrow and then live for God on Tuesday? Unstable in all your ways. And then what happens? We become futile in our thoughts, and then our hearts are darkened. And for some reason, it doesn't take long for Satan to convince us that the dark is way better than the light. Isn't that crazy? And we always run to the dark and then wonder why we stub our toe. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, and they were not thankful. And then the result is futility in your thoughts and your hearts are darkened, and then you start serving a false god, which would either be you, yourself, or Satan. But in 2 Corinthians 4:15, giving thanks brings glory to him. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many. Listen, when you start loving God, giving thanks to God, living for God, other people see it, other people get saved, they get saved, they do it, and then all of a sudden that's a snowball effect. But don't say you love God and then you live like Satan. Please don't do that. You're not helping anyone. In verse 12, 2 Corinthians 9:12, Paul describes the Corinthians' ministry of giving with the word service, or liturgia, which would be service, which refers to a priestly service, right? He says in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings. That's what the church does, right? We take care of people, we serve, and then we serve others that need help. Amen? So I'm just saying, if you look at this, how does it happen? He just gets through talking about giving, right? The collection is not primarily a social program, but a spiritual to God. It's a spiritual service. Guys, I just want to encourage you. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, we're going to go right back to this one. Because all who heard of the liberality of the Corinthians' contributions would give thanks. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many. It's because people gave, the church grew, people heard, thus spread through the many, and then caused thanksgiving to abound. For what reason? To the glory of God. Guys, I just want to challenge you today. Are you saved? And if you're saved, are you giving thanks to God? Are you praising God? Are you secure in God? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe that God has made you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Or do you look in the mirror and then tell God what a failure he is? See, all this is attached. If we can't connect to God because what God has done for us, through us, because of Jesus Christ, you're not going to trust God with much. You're going to question him. You're going to doubt him. You're going to leave that door open for Satan to get in and start unplugging you. And when he'll do it so subtly, he'll just chip away at you. And the next thing you know, you'll be faking your walk in Christ. And then the next thing you know, you'll be walking away from Christ. It's a progression. It's always a progression. And if you struggle with the tithe, I'm going to bet you're struggling with a whole lot of other things that God says as well. And I'm going to bet you're not very thankful. And you go, you can't judge me. I didn't listen. The only dog that barks when you throw a rock into the crowd is the one that gets hit. Just saying. I blew it. Hey, guys. Today's a challenge to look in the mirror. To look in the mirror at yourself. And then ask the hard questions. Who are you in Christ? And do you really trust Christ? And if God were to ask you, I'm not asking you, I'm just throwing this out there, but if God were to ask you, hey, you give me every dime in your bank account and I'll replenish it next week 20-fold. Are you walking close enough that you could trust him to do that? If not, look at your relationship. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity. Because that's where it all starts. It doesn't start with your money. It doesn't start with your good works. It doesn't start with anything that you have to offer. It starts with you understanding that Jesus Christ offered himself on the cross and he died for you so that through him you could have heaven. That's where it starts. If you wish to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you have to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. He rose on the third day and is at the right hand of the Father today. You have to believe that he conquered death and hell and that he is the only way to heaven. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father who's in heaven except through me. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ, you pray this prayer. Understand the words do not save you. They're not magical. It's just kind of a roadmap to help walk you through the process. But if you don't believe in your heart, then it's not real. So don't pretend it, okay? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If it's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I believe. I believe you are the Savior of the world. I believe you're the only way to heaven. I believe in you, and that is what allows me to get to heaven. Today, I surrender all. Today, I am yours. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. Today, I repent. I'm going to turn and walk away from the things that I know displease you, and I'm going to walk toward that which brings you honor and glory. If that was your heart's desire and you prayed that prayer, nobody looking around, would you just lift your hand up so I can rejoice with you? Today, I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Amen. You can put your hands down. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with some things. I'm struggling with some scriptures. I'm struggling with tithing. I'm just struggling with some things. Will you pray for me? If that's you, will you lift your hand so I can? Amen. 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 Hands all over. Thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. Father in heaven, for those who are struggling, Lord, I pray that you would just lead them, guide them. But more than anything, Father, I pray that they will submit to you and to your leadership and guidance. Lord, I pray that they would open your word, read it, research it, study it. Father, invest in your word and invest in you. Lord, you show yourself so faithful. Lord, I pray you continue to show that to each and every person that's struggling today. Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength to stand and realize they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, I pray that you'd give them the courage to stand with you in your word and represent you in amazing ways. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.